I came, I go. I breathe, I move, I sleep. I talk, I eat, I drink, I laugh, I weep. And yet, I sometimes feel that I am but a thought, a piece of thistledown, a thing of naught, destined not for high angelic glory, but rocked in the cradle of a craftsman's story.
Barney! Barney! Is that you? Can you hear me? Miss Hargraves! Miss Hargraves!
Miss Hargraves, a fantasy by Frank Baker, dramatized for radio by Brian Sibley, with Jean Anderson as Miss Constance Hargraves, David Swift as Cornelius Huntley, and Dale Rapley as Norman Huntley, who discovered the truth of the words, creative thought creates.
Creative thought creates. That's what my father maintains, and my God, it's true. I have proved that all right. Proved it beyond all doubt. This isn't the profound philosophy of any great thinker. After all, there's nothing special about me. Norman Huntley, 23 years old with a mother and sister, the father who runs an antiquarian bookshop where I sometimes help out when I'm not working as a lay clerk in the choir of Cornford Cathedral, and with a best friend who shares my terrible knowledge. Well, this cold December night, 1931, crossing the Irish Sea, heading for England and home, sees the final act, the closing chapter, the end of the whole crazy story. If, indeed, this story has an end. As for the beginning, though it scarcely seems possible, that was just 16 months ago. How could I have known that a rain-soaked, whiskey-sodden holiday in Ulster with Henry would change my life forever? Lusk had seemed such an unremarkable little village until that last gloomy, drizzly day.
Move on, Norman. Looks as if it's going to rain again.
God, but I hate it here.
Poor old Lusk, what's it ever done to you?
Well, for one thing, it will keep raining on me. See what I mean?
Never mind, back home tomorrow. Thank heavens.
I tell you, Henry, this is positively the last eccentric holiday you took me into.
It's the last one I'm going to invite you on, you miserable... Come on, the church, we can shelter in there.
Oh, I don't know.
What's the matter? Do you want to get drenched? Besides, there might be something worth seeing inside.
Like what?
I don't know. Brasses or something.
I hate brasses.
For goodness sake, Norman, come on. Damn, it's locked. I reckon they ought to be ashamed of themselves locking churches. I mean, apart from being pretty inconvenient for people wanting to shelter from the rain, it's bad for religion. Definitely bad.
It looks as if it's easing up. Let's make a dash for it.
Hang on a minute. We're in luck.
Last.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Would you be wanting to see the church?
Thank you, but we're...
That's exactly what we're wanting.
Speak for yourself.
My friend here is very interested in old churches.
Is that so now? Well, to be sure, this is a very old church, dedicated by the Bishop of Armagh in 1863.
Did you hear that, Norman? 1863. Fascinating.
Come in, won't you? Come on in.
My God.
Kindly remember where you are.
But it's so... hideous?
Yes. We're very proud of our handsome pews. And I beg you to observe the beautiful lettering on the chancel wall. I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. You like it?
Very pretty indeed.
Original.
Unusual, in a sense.
Full of feeling.
Filthy.
The choir screen is definitely in a class by itself.
Oh, we think the whole church is in a class by itself.
Ah, but surely this is your greatest treasure.
Ah, Norman.
Well, you started this. You might as well get a bit of fun out of it.
Well, on your head be it.
Very lifelike.
It was presented by members of the congregation in memory of the late Reverend Mr. Archer, beloved vicar here for 40 years, who died in 1925. Mr. Archer was a good man.
Dear Mr. Archer.
You were a friend of the late Mr. Archer.
Oh, by no means. But we have heard a lot about him, haven't we, Henry?
You bet we have.
How interesting.
A great friend. Knew him in his Cambridge days.
Oxford?
Oh, no, you're wrong there, Henry. It was definitely Cambridge.
A darling man, most free with us morning.
Dear me. I have looked forward to seeing Mr. Archer's church for so long, and now, here we are. So moving. I have never been more moved.
And your friend who knew Mr. Archer, what was his name?
A lady. Miss Hargraves. Miss Connie Hargraves.
Miss Connie, or as she was more formally known, Constance Hargraves,
who lives in Rutlandshire.
They were childhood friends, Connie and Mr. Archer.
Miss Hargraves has told me many delightful stories about her friend.
And this lady, this Miss Hargraves, she's still alive, eh?
10 seconds old, precisely.
The soul of youth. She is a poet, you know.
Ah, she would be an old lady now. Over 80?
Nearer 90.
A touch of rheumatoid arthritis, but no more than a touch.
Ah, you must give me the lady's address.
I'll write it down for you. Henry, is it 28 or 29 Dorsington Road, Oakham?
Oh, she's far too well known to bother about the number. In any case, the name of the house, Sable Lodge, is more than sufficient.
Of course.
Well, this is a happy day, huh?
There. That will certainly find her.
Hey, thank you.
She is a niece of the Duke of Grosvenor.
The Duke?
The first to encourage her poetry writing.
Oh. If I'd been told that two gentlemen would come into this church this evening who knew of dear Mr. Archer, I would not have believed it.
Nor would we.
Yes, a happy day, to be sure.
Well, here's to Miss Hargraves.
Miss Hargraves, long may she live. I already feel as though I've known her all my life.
Of course, I can't take the entire credit for her.
You didn't mind the Duke of Grosvenor connection?
That was first class, full marks.
Still, she's really your creation, Norman.
Yes, I'm afraid she is.
Why afraid?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think I've had anywhere near so much fun since that day when we were kids and skipped the service at the cathedral to go fishing.
Yes, we invented a whole sermon to tell our parents so they wouldn't know what we'd been up to.
Still, Miss Hargraves, like Mr. Archer's ghastly church, is in a class by herself. Coincidentally, do you think she still winters in the south of France?
Of course. Wonderful how she takes her cockatoo about. It's gone with her everywhere.
Oh, you mean Hector?
Well, Dr. Papush. Hector, you remember, died of psittacosis.
Oh, Dr. Papush.
Wrote the Beggar's Opera. Had a parrot who used to sing an air from one of Handel's operas. She is a keen musician, don't forget.
Cello?
Harp.
Wonder if she's ever set any of her poems. What was the name of that book of hers?
Wayside Bundle.
How did that line go? My soul is like a cricket on a leaf.
Cleft in the narrow gulf of gusty grief.
Pure genius. Is she at all horsey?
No. Doggy. Keeps a Bedlington by the name of Sarah. Don't you remember how she forgot herself in one of the Duke's grandfather clerks? Incidentally, I can't help thinking it was perhaps a mistake to give the sexton her home address.
Oh? Isn't she there at the moment?
Well, she's probably on her way to Bath. She always goes this time of the year.
I should think she's the only person left who travels with her own bath, wouldn't you?
What?
The portable hip bath Mr. Archer gave her 60 years ago.
A touching gesture.
You know, Norman, you really ought to write to her and tell her we've at last seen Mr. Archer's church. She'd be so pleased.
Of course. Toast?
No, thanks. Just read me the letter.
All right, but pour me some more coffee. We had far too much whiskey last night. September 2nd, 1931. Dear Miss Hargraves, I'm afraid it is some time since I wrote to you, but I feel that I must send you a line from a place so intimately bound up with memories of your old friend, Mr. Archer. You have told me so much about him that I almost felt, when I stood in Lusk Church yesterday, that I had known him myself. What of you, my dear old friend? Do you think that's a bit too familiar?
Too familiar? Nothing could be too familiar for such an old friend.
I'm assuming that, as usual, you are staying in Bath, so I am therefore addressing this to the Manor Court Hotel, which I know you always patronise.
As a Manor Court? 6 stars?
5.
Pity.
Any time you care to come and stay with us at Cornford, you will be more than welcome. My mother and father have long hoped to meet you, and I need hardly say that this invitation extends also to Sarah and Dr. Payfush. With warm regards, ever most sincerely, Norman Huntley. You agree the regards ought to be warm?
As hot as hell.
I'll post it before we leave. It really should have the Lusk postmark.
I suppose it'll stay in the hotel rack for months. It'd be interesting to go there in a year's time and see if it's still there.
Still there? If Miss Hargraves hasn't yet arrived, she will do in a day or so.
Sorry. I was assuming, just for a moment, that there wasn't such a person. Pure idle fancy, you know.
Damn disrespectful, I call it. And in the worst possible taste.
You know, this is all going to sound very silly back in Cornford.
Yes, I dare say it will.
Hello, Dan. How's business?
Shh, shh, shh. Don't speak for a moment. Trying to solve this chess problem. Oh, blast. Don't suppose you know where the Red Queen's got to. I'm having to use a clothes peg. Very awkward. No, no, that's definitely check. By the way, have we got a copy of the Kelmscott Shakespeare anywhere about?
I had an interesting holiday.
Ah, I always liked Ireland.
Didn't know you'd been there.
Read about it. Who's that fellow? Moore, is it? I've been playing the violin a good bit since you've been away. And what do you think? That fool Caravelle's had kittens.
Go on.
Yes, the Kreutzer Sonata. It's a fine work.
She had 5 only last April.
But I'm damned if I can manage that tricky bit in the slow movement. Had a good holiday.
Different.
Henry looked in a little while ago on his way to the garage. You know, I don't understand why a bright chap like that's working as a mechanic.
Well, he's not exactly. It's his father's firm.
Ask me if I got a volume of poetry by, who was it? Harton or something? Constance Harton. Called Wayside Bundle. Or was it Puddle? I haven't had time to look for it.
Oh, Henry's pulling your leg.
Is he? Funny way to pull it. If I find the book, I shall jolly well charge him for it.
Who is this Hargraves woman? Someone you met in Ireland, I suppose.
She's nobody, Mother.
That's not what Henry said, was it, Jim?
According to Henry, Miss Hargraves is one of your closest friends. Your guiding light, he called her. Oh,
thanks, Henry. Honestly, he's having you on.
Why should he?
I always know when I'm being fooled. Besides, he spoke about her with great respect.
Come on, brother dear. Who is she?
Believe me, sister dear. The whole thing was a joke. We made her up.
Very well, Norman. If you want to conceal your friends from us...
There's nothing and nobody to conceal.
You really don't know a Miss Hargraves.
I swear I've never met any such woman in my life.
Then how do you explain this?
What is it?
Really, Norman, you're not going to pretend now that you've never seen a telegram before.
Well, go on. Read it.
Oh, my God. What the hell do you mean, spinning all this stuff about Miss Hargraves?
Eh? Oh, yes. Chuck over that collar of wire. No, not that one, you idiot. The other one.
I do think the telegram, though brilliant, was going a bit far.
Just hold the other end, will you? Look out for that oil. What telegram?
Well, don't tell me you've got nothing to do with this.
What?
Well, go on, read it.
1,000 thanks for welcome invitation sent from beloved Lusk. Hoping arrives stay with you Monday. Hargraves. Honestly, Norman, and I thought Miss Hargraves had just come out of your little head. Where did you pick up this dame?
Did you or did you not have it sent?
Of course not. Do you really think I'd travel all the way to Bath just to send a telegram? I mean, a joke's a joke, but that's ridiculous.
Henry, I've just remembered something my father said.
When?
When we were making up stories as kids.
Well?
He said, always be careful what you make up. Life's more full of things made up on the spur of the moment than most people realize. Beware of the spur of the moment. It may turn and rend you. I tell you, Henry, I'm scared.
Are you ready to give us an explanation, Norman?
There isn't one. Or if there is, I don't know what it is. It's some kind of a trick. I felt sure Henry was behind it, but now I don't know.
Well, I think it's all very mysterious.
Oh, for pity's sake, Jim, give over.
Hello, hello. What's the matter?
Ask Norman.
Ah, Norman. Thought maybe you'd accompany me while I run through the Kreutzer this evening.
Dad!
Oh, by the way, that book I was trying to find. Oh, pour us a cup of tea, Jim.
What, the Shakespeare?
Was it? I say, that cake looks good. Anyway, I found it. Here it is.
But that's not the Count's got.
No, the other book. Where's the sugar?
The other book?
The poems, Wayside Spindle or something, by that woman Henry was interested in. Friend of yours, he said.
Wayside Bundle, verses by Constance Hargraves. Norman?
Let me see. Dedicated to Philip Archer, M.A. A small craft and now for the first time launched upon the sea of criticism. Father, where did you find this book?
They're rather nice. Remind me of, who is it? Christina Rossetti. Met her once, you know.
Let's have a look. Oh, bring me the flute and the alto bassoon, the mustard and cress and the water, the high and the diddle, the fiddle, for soon must I go to make love to your daughter.
Mm, that's good. She's a poet right enough. You have to work to get at the meaning. Sure sign.
Well, she's no chicken, your fancy friend. This was published in 1893.
That means she must be at least 60.
60? She's nearer 90. That is what... Oh, damn it. Hell, I've never met her, I tell you. I made her up.
Well, she can certainly write. There's a line in one of them. The cherry is ruddy, the asp is alight. True, you know. Gets to the heart of things. You must bring her round. I like authors. You should set some of them to music, Norman.
But Father, where did you find this wretched book?
On my desk. Right under my nose. Funny, wasn't it?
What the devil's wrong now?
Did you ask my father if he'd got a copy of Constance Hargraves' poem?
Oh, yes, sorry. It seemed like a nice little touch at the time. My father took it all in. Actually said he'd write to Foyles about it.
Well, he didn't have to.
What do you mean?
Here, explain this if you can.
Wayside Bundle. I suppose you really did make her up, Norman. She wasn't some old trout you'd known all along.
Henry, we made her up.
I only put in a few bits.
But you helped, you know you did.
Oh, bring me the cornet, the flute and the axe, the serpent, the drum and the cymbals. The truth has been told. I've laid bare all the facts. I cannot make bricks without thimbles. This is nonsense, Norman.
Of course it's nonsense. The whole damn thing's nonsense.
Now then, what's this all about? A woman? Never been my cup of tea, women.
It's not what you think. I'm not in love or anything. I wish it were that simple.
Get it off your chest, boy. I may not listen much, but I usually gather the drift, you know.
Dad, it's this Miss Hargraves.
A fine woman from the sound of her. Is she musical by any chance?
Plays the harp.
Oh, I like harps. Wrote some music for the harp once, but never could find a harpist to play it.
But the thing is, I made it all up. Her, the harp, everything, even her bloody parrot.
Intelligent birds, parrots. You won once that could recite a Shakespeare sonnet, all except the last line.
You don't understand. She and her confounded parrot are just a figment of my imagination. I invented the whole thing on the spur of the moment.
Dangerous game, making things up. Something very like this happened to me once. Better not tell your mother. Basingstoke. I was late for an appointment, so I'd said I got held up by an elephant. If you make a lie extravagant enough, most people will believe you. It's only when you try to make a lie sound like the truth that people get suspicious.
Dad, this Miss Hargraves is coming to Cornford.
Don't keep mentioning her name. She might easily become immortal. Then where would you be? It's purely a matter of faith. Call her X and faith Y. Well, X plus Y equals Z, and Z is reality.
You really do believe me, don't you?
Oh, I believe you, son. I sympathize. I understand in a way that most people wouldn't.
What am I to do if she turns up?
This elephant, I said, broke loose from a circus, ran amok and killed a postman. Oh, you could make her have a railway accident on the way here.
That might involve a lot of other people.
True. Mm. That evening, I read in my paper the three elephants had stampeded through Basingstoke that very day, devouring the entire contents of two bakers' shops and killing a postman. Three elephants. Shows how careful you have to be, doesn't it?
I guess it does. Henry, look, I've just had a letter from the old devil. Yes, and she mentions the bath. No, not the place. Small B-A-T-H. Mr. Archer's bath. One of my most precious possessions is a bath that my dear old friend Mr. Archer gave me many years ago. Henry, I think I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. Well, you'll simply have to come to the station with me. What do you mean? Henry, you can't let me down. Not now. Okay, thanks. See you at 8, then. Oh, and by the way,
A large package has just been delivered to the house. Fortunately, Mother and Jim were out. It's all done up in sacking and straw. Henry, it's a harp. I could see the petals. Well, that's that. No sign of her.
I told you it was a waste of time. Let's go.
Listen.
What?
Shh. My God! Doctor, what's his name?
Paypush.
And the Medlington.
Porter! And Porter!
And Miss Porter. Hargraves.
I require your assistance.
She's on two sticks. A touch of rheumatoid arthritis, remember?
What a handsome train. What a most handsome train.
I didn't remember the gold lawn yet.
I wrote a sonnet to a railway train once. Her Uncle Grosvenor was good enough to say it's the cold Wordsworth to him.
Henry, she is exactly as I imagined.
Do you read at all, Porter? Tell me, frankly.
Well, Mum, I do read a bit. Detective stories, you know.
Indeed. This has always interested me. What do these detectives detect? And why? Oh, quiet, Sierra, quiet. Quiet, hush. I'm so interested, Porter. I'm interested in everything.
Yes, Mum.
Life to me cannot contain one dull moment. I do not believe in but... Oh, now, what is the matter, Sarah?
It's the dog, Henry. She's seen me.
Look here, Norman. Do you know this old witch?
Should have known her anywhere. And please don't call her a witch.
For God's sake, let's get away. Quick, there's still time.
Norman!
Too late.
Oh, my dear, dear boy. Oh, how brave. Oh, dear, dear, I'm so excited. Hold me up, dear, hold me up.
What should I do with this here bath?
Norman, don't let her get away with it.
Miss Hargrave, I'm afraid you're making some mistake.
Sarah knew you at once, and just listen to Dr. Paypush. Oh, what gaiety, what spontaneity. He knows you can't deceive the animal world.
But Miss Hargrave...
But Porter, run and tell that silly old Dr. Paypush to be quiet. Look, here's a penny. Buy him some chocolate, nuts and fruit. Break it up.
But, Mum...
Thank you, Porter. Now, Norman, dear, give me your arm. I'm quite exhausted. Dr. Paypush, stop that nonsense. Now, Sarah, down, doggy, down, down. Have you ever considered, Norman, that a railway station is the scene of some of the most poignant moments in life? Yes, I can see you two are affected. And who is this young man?
Miss Hargrave.
You must introduce me, but let us adjourn to the refreshment room where we can enjoy a little civilized conversation.
A glass of soda water and a Chelsea bun.
Thank you. Thank you, my dear. The food in such establishments is nowadays quite dreadful. And I find it increasingly hard to be tolerant now I'm in the evening of my days. But what an evening. 83, Norman. 83. 5 rains. And yet, I feel as though I had been born last week. And now you simply must introduce me to this modest young gentleman who has never a word to say for himself. He reminds me of my dear Archer. He, too, had the Byronic black hair, the beetle brows of... Time flies...
This is my friend, Henry Beddoe.
Beddoe? Beddoe. Grosvenor once had a parlourmaid by the same name. I wonder if...
I think it unlikely.
Really? And yet, how often the unlikely seems to be the case. Anyway, you're Norman's friend, then it follows, Mr. Beddoe, that you are my friend.
Thanks very much.
Ah, Mr. Beddoe... I wonder whether you realize what Norman's friendship means to an old thing like me.
I can scarcely begin to imagine.
Then let me compare his appearance in my latter days to a shaft of pure sunlight warming the frail timbers of some old barn. A fanciful imagery, maybe. You need not blush, my dear Norman, you need not blush.
I should be very interested to know, Miss Hargraves, just how long you've known Norman Henry.
Oh, years. I cannot remember. My memory, alas, works but spasmodically. And you know, Mr. Beddoe, you must never talk of time. I'm an old lady, and an old lady does not care to be reminded of time.
I see. Well, I must be getting along. Very glad to have met you, Miss Hargraves. Goodbye. Henry, please. For God's sake, don't leave me alone with her. You're as responsible for her as I am.
You surely don't expect me to believe in that rubbish any longer, do you?
Anyone could tell she's known you for years.
That may be, but I haven't known her for years.
You said yourself you'd have known her anywhere.
Yes, but what I meant was...
Norman!
I'll see you around.
Look!
Norman!
Oh, God.
Two taxis is really quite needless expense.
The problem was, I think, the bath.
I'm always so tiresome about the bath. After all, it's not a very big bath. Beloved bath, wherein my tired feet have oft-time plunged before the peaceful hour when sleep descends. Within you blooms the flower of rosy youth. One small thing, Norman, before we arrive. Is it too much trouble to ask for a fire in my room? I'm not fussy. I abominate fuss. Is there a south aspect to the room? I hope so. And tell me, has the harp arrived?
Yes, the harp's come. But I'm afraid, Miss Hargrave...
Call me Constance, dear, when we're alone. But perhaps not before others. Perhaps not. What were you about to say? You're afraid, maybe, that Dr. Papush will keep your parents awake? Not at all. I play him to sleep every night.
You mean...
Holmes. Eccentric, perhaps. But Orpheus achieved much with the lute, and I, in my small way, do what I can with the harp.
Miss Hargraves, Constance, what I was going to say is, well, I'm afraid we can't put you up.
Put me up?
Give you a room. I mean, you can't stay with us.
Oh!
Mother is ill. She's got scarlet fever. We have to be very careful.
Scarlet fever?
Well, not exactly scarlet, but fever anyway. You never can tell. I've made all the arrangements for you to stay at the Swan. Best hotel in Cornford.
I'm sure I've had scarlet fever.
You can have it again. Besides, it may be smallpox.
Sarah, down there, Clark. How many stars has this hotel?
Four.
Really? Only four?
We don't really reckon to take birds. And then there's the question of this bath. We're very well fitted up here, you know, hot and cold and everything.
Good man, will you stop talking and send the manager to me at once?
But I am the manager.
You? The manager? Oh, good heavens, how things are changing.
Mr. Stiles, Miss Hargraves is very weary after her journey.
Mr. Humphrey, the parrot, I'm afraid the other guests
you
will...
You have a wooden swan over your front door, and you have the insolence to talk disparagingly of a live and well-educated cockatoo. Shakespeare!
Yes.
Even referring to my dear Dr. Papush as a parrot.
What a parrot!
It's scandalous, it's monstrous.
Well, of course, I suppose. I dare say everything will be all right.
I trust it will be, manager, I trust so.
Yes.
I am not fussy, I abominate fuss. And now, let us view my apartment.
Madam.
I must overlook the garden, and a fire must be lit, and several cans of hot, not boiling, water brought up.
Yes, madam.
You observe Norman holes in the carpet.
We can't do you anything but cold beef and pickles, ma'am.
What?
Cold beef and pickles. It's rather late. Dinner's off, see?
I've never heard of such a thing.
What about an omelette? Is that possible?
I'll ask in the kitchen.
Always one has to return to the inevitable omelette. Still, what has to be is to be. An omelette of fiend's egg. It must be done instantaneously. The egg should almost catch fire, not quite. And fresh herbs, of course.
I'll speak to Chef, ma'am.
Do that. Oh, how kind people are. I expect so little.
Miss Constance, I was wondering...
Yes, dear?
How is, Agatha?
Sinking. Rapidly sinking.
Still, it was bound to come, sooner or later.
Yes, we all sink sooner or later. The bar must be crossed by all.
Does she suffer?
Cruelly.
You will miss her.
Yes, indeed. My life was complete before Agatha came. The rosemary dapple and fawn, the caraway petal, the Holloway flame, the gingham, the gallows, the dawn.
You'll find it distressing to return to Oakham without her.
I shall not return.
Oh?
No. I'm closing Sable Lodge. I shall live in Cornford.
Oh?
You, dear, will have to take Agatha's place.
I just made the name up on the spur of the moment, and I still don't know who or what Agatha is. Well, what do you think it means? Do you think I've suffered some ghastly lapse of memory?
I mean, I might have met Miss Hargraves years ago at Bournemouth or somewhere.
Memory's a funny thing. I had a beard once before you were born, and one night I dreamed I was trimming the Veronica hedge, and in the morning the beard was gone.
It's just that I had to make sure she was my own creation.
And why not? Who knows anything? Thousands of mysteries all around us. Stars, sky, chaps, girls, animals, flowers. And just why all of us are and do and die. Mysteries. Say what you like.
The trouble is she mesmerizes me. I go crazy and want to make up more and more stories, just to see how she reacts. I honestly believe that if I was to say I'd been up in a balloon with her, she'd agree with me.
Baron Munchausen, wasn't it, went to the moon in a balloon? Everyone dismisses him as a liar, but who's to say? Damn difficult piece. Does Miss What's-her-name ever go to the Three Choir Festival?
Very likely, I should say.
Perhaps that's where you met her. I saw Tennyson there once, skulking behind a pillar and fumbling about in his beard. He dropped a bit of paper and I picked it up. There were only three words on it. I got it somewhere in the shop. Remind me to look for it sometime. Valuable, really. Do you want to hear how I'm getting on with that air on a G-string I've been composing? Easier than the Kreutzer, but probably not the same amount of heart.
What do you want?
I wanted to say I'm sorry about last night.
Well, I can't stop. I'm late for choir practice.
Come on, Norman. I am apologizing. You see, it just came to me suddenly in a flash in bed last night.
What are you talking about?
That damn bath! It stuck in my throat. I really did think you'd been playing a trick on me. And I realized...
Realized what?
Well, you fool, I made the bath up, not you.
Don't you feel rather pleased?
Pleased?
It coming true like that.
I don't know about being pleased.
The trouble with you is you're no artist.
Dare you speak to me in that fashion, young man?
I'm sorry, ma'am, but nobody is permitted to sit in the bishop's throne.
With presumably the exception of the bishop.
Please be so good as to return to the nave, ma'am.
And please be so good as to stop marring me. And assure you, I had no intention of trespassing upon the dear bishop's throne. I've never willingly sat on a throne, and I never will. Here is my card. I'm a friend of Mr. Huntley's, a close friend. Merely wish to sit in the choir.
That is out of the question, ma'am. There's a practice on.
Ridiculous. Look, there is Mr. Huntley. He will explain. Norman, Norman.
Miss Hargraves.
Is this lady known to you, Mr. Huntley?
Yes, that is, not really. I mean...
Then perhaps you can convince her to return to the nave in accordance with the cathedral regulations.
Regulations? Fiddle-faddle.
Miss Hargraves, will you please do as you've been asked and go away?
Go? Do I hear you correctly?
Yes, Miss Hargraves, you do. Now, if you will excuse me...
What have I done to deserve such treatment from you? And you, Norman, of all people, and on such a day as this, when I've been cruelly robbed of my beloved Agatha.
Agatha?
Gone. You, who had always believed my friend, you treat me thus. It's hard to bear.
I'll see you presently.
Norman... This is over.
It is, but I'm afraid I have an appointment.
I once wrote a few lines that would seem appropriate at this moment.
I haven't time for poetry.
I would not pretend my poor lines were poetry. Mere verse, nothing more, but apposite nonetheless. I talk to them of candlesticks and pears, of clotheslines, postal orders, wheelback chairs, of plants in pots, of pans, e'en polar bears, to hide my woe.
Yes, very nice.
But wait, there is more. They talk to me of coal and China tea, of politicians, fonts and kedgeree, of saucers, sheets, hemp and honeybee,
'Tis better so.
That's all very well, but I really
poor
don't have time.
Agatha is scarcely cold. I am miles from home. And what does my dearest, my oldest friend do? He's actually rude to me in public. Norman, I can bear much, but not this, not this.
The time has come to get things straight.
Explain, I beg you.
Look, why do you follow me about like this? I don't know you. I never did know you. I never met you before in my life.
Stop! Stop? Not know me? Never met me? How can you say such wicked, wicked things?
But it's true.
Do you deny that you wrote to me while I was at Bath? Dare you deny that?
No, I can't deny that. But all I can tell you is that I never knew of your existence before I wrote.
You're angry with me for sitting in the bishop's throne.
Oh, don't cry. For heaven's sake, don't cry.
I didn't know it was the bishop's throne. I merely went to the first seat I saw. Heaven forbid, Norman. I should in any way make myself conspicuous.
Look, I don't care what you do, so long as you don't drag me into it. The letter I wrote you from Lusk, it was a joke. Nothing more than a joke.
Oh, a joke. A joke.
Don't, Miss Hargraves. I'm sorry for what I said. Awfully sorry.
Where am I? Is that you, Archer? Who are you?
Why, I'm Norman Huntley. Well, you know me, Miss Hargraves.
Norman. Norman. Oh, my dear, dear boy. Oh, my head is throbbing so.
Well, come along. Look, you'd better take my arm.
Oh, thank you, dear. I feel better now. Forgive me. I am an old woman. I get confused. How strong your arm is, dear. Where should I be? Where should I be without the life you put into me?
Of course, we are hardly out of the top door.
But we could have hired a footman and put a silver plate in the hall for Carl.
Oh, no, it wouldn't have done, Jim. You see, people like us, very low, ill-bred people like us...
Oh, for pity's sake, Mother, give over.
Oh, I'm sorry, dear. I was merely wondering whether we might have managed somehow to make our humble house fit to have received Lady Hargrave.
She's not Lady Hargrave.
Countess Hargrave, perhaps.
I'd have thought you'd have been pleased that I'd kept her away from you. She'd drive you mad in a minute. She's already nearly sent me round the bend.
Still, if she's loaded and there's any chance you're going to be able to get your hands on something...
What did you say? Is that what you really think?
Well, what are we supposed to think?
Oh, stop it, the pair.
Hello, hello. What's up now?
Oh,
well, it's
only
one scene a day before yesterday's time.
We were just discussing Norman's devoted companion, the Duchess of Hargrave.
Fascinating woman. Came into the shop today.
What?
We had a long conversation about Tennyson. She was most interested to hear about my meeting with him. I liked her. Asked her round for tea tomorrow.
Oh, Dad, you didn't.
Another cucumber sandwich, Miss Hargrave?
Thank you. Most kind. Such a fresh-taste cucumber.
That's a very original hat, Miss Hargrave.
You like it?
Well, yes. I think it suits you, really.
Not everyone could wear it, of course.
I made it myself, Mrs. Huntley. It is Lapland beaver.
Really? Well, fancy.
Hats were getting so abysmally dull. I felt a gesture had to be made to the world.
Strange to think they make perfumes out of the stuff beavers secrete from glands at the base of their tails. Or is that muskrat?
I don't really think we want to hear about that at the tea table, Cornelius. Norman, offer Miss Hargrave some more tea.
Yes, of course.
Thank you, dear, but no.
I understand you are coming to live in Cornford.
Where better to spend the twilight of my days than near your dear boy, yourselves, and that splendid cathedral?
Talking of twilight, did you ever go to Norway?
I cannot remember. Did I ever go, Norman?
I think you did.
Oh, yes, it all comes back to me now. Those beautiful fjords, the midnight sun, the folk tunes on the long pipes, and all the icy glamour of the Scandinavian geist.
Yeah, I went there years ago, before I was married. Next to no twilight in those parts. You just go from one thing to another. I find it curiously affected one's behaviour. Did you, Miss Harton?
Oh, decidedly, Mr. Puntley.
How, especially?
Ah.
Funny things go on. Eh, Norman?
They certainly do.
Tell us, Miss Hargraves, how long have you known Norman?
Ask him.
Oh, we've known each other for a long time.
Really?
And where did you first meet, then?
I really cannot remember a time when I did not know Norman.
My brother has kept us quite in the dark about your friendship till now. Haven't you, Norman?
In the dark? Oh, tut, I do not care for that. Tell them all about it, dear boy.
It was in Blackwell's bookshop in Oxford.
Ah, me, what a memorable day that was. I was descending the little iron spiral stairway that leads up to the foreign books. I had been in search of some Norwegian literature when, in one dreadful moment, I lost my footing and fell crashing to the bottom.
How awful!
Indeed. But we are sent many a blessing in disguise, for without that catastrophe, I should never have met your good son.
Oh, what did he do?
Everything. A compound femoral fracture could not, I'm sure, have met with wiser treatment. Oh, those splints, Norman. Oh, dear, dear, dear.
The ones I made from newspapers?
Precisely. Nobody, except perhaps my dear Uncle Grosvenor, could have handled the situation with keener presence of mind.
Used to have quite a few books on first aid. Rotten Cellars.
If it were not for your brave son, I doubt if I should be here now.
Oh. Who'd have thought it? Fancy Norman never telling me.
Oh, well, one doesn't talk about such things, you know.
Not alone flowers, but many good deeds were born to blush unseen.
After that, I suppose you saw quite a lot of each other.
I met Miss Hargraves again in the Albert Hall.
Was that when you went up for that big choir festival?
Oh, the heat that day.
I shall never forget those raspberries. No, strawberries.
The man in the wilderness asked me, how many strawberries grow in the sea? extraordinary things, some of those old rhymes.
How happy we were, happy and foolish.
Really?
Well, there was an interval, you see, Mrs. Huntley, between the rehearsal and the actual festival. Norman and I suddenly felt we must have strawberries. Nothing but strawberries, it must be. So, we bought a little punnet and set out for the park. Norman suggested it would be pleasant to eat our fruit in a boat on the Serpentine. So, off we set. Norman handling the oars most awfully well. And then, disaster.
The strawberries fell overboard?
And you stretched out your hand over the side.
And you did the same?
And
the boat turned turtle.
And there we were, floundering about in the Serpentine.
You might have caught your death.
To say nothing about drowning.
Yes, Norman and I have had many adventures together. And I have no doubt but that we shall have many more.
I'm sure you will.
Old I may be, but I'm still
ready. Isn't it
for
time Dr. Papush was covered up?
Yes. Perhaps I'd better go.
Must you?
Oh, I wanted to ask you about Swinburne, Miss Holway. Did you know he took up archery, made his own arrows, used them to write with as well? Ever hear of that?
Fascinating. But I'm afraid Norman is right. I must away. Oh. Dr. Papush will be so irritable if I do not soon return. It has been delightful to meet you all. I'm so pleased to see, Mrs. Humphrey, that you are now fully recovered.
Recovered?
From your scarlet fever, of course. Come along, Norman. The seven stars and Orion. I feel I could seek him who made them. But not in one of those dreadful aeroplanes. No, balloons for me.
What did you say?
Balloons, dear, balloons.
What made you think of balloons especially?
How can I tell, dear? A floating thought, nothing more. You know, Norman, we are breath from the mouth of God. For a time we remain anchored in the harbour of this little planet, but somewhere beyond the starry oceans lies our true home. Do you not sometimes feel you could sail there, dear?
You can go if you like.
Ah, me. What would I not give to shatter this sorry scheme of things? And yet, I want to live.
Do you think I'm batty, Father?
Battiness is far more common than one supposes.
Nothing seems real anymore.
Reality isn't what it's thought to be.
Do you believe in psychology?
There's only one thing I'm certain of, my boy, and that is, I'm not certain of anything. You can't prove a damn thing. Two and two make four, so they say. But who the hell knows what two is? Music's the only thing in this world that isn't adult. ¶¶ and this gut and carved wood, animal and vegetable, together we combine to produce something that's never been in the world before.
Listen. Can't hear anything.
That's the point, neither can I. But if you had sharp enough ears, you'd be able to hear that tune going on somewhere. Never dies, you know, never dies. Going on all around the world, my boy. You can't cancel it. Just an idea of mine. You and your Miss Holgrave, my tune. When you understand what the chord does, you'll be near to understanding everything. That's the truth.
Truth? They say truth lies at the bottom of a well. I'll tell you, Father, I think I've got drowned in it.
Compares to that of the mighty organ. Do you remember my sonnet? It appeared, I think, in Wayside Bundle. Roll out, ye thunderous diapasons, roll, and sound the battle cry, ye roaring reeds, and so on. But come, dear, play some more.
Really, Miss Hargraves, you shouldn't have come up here. It's not allowed.
Oh, tush, fie. Who can dare to halt the music of the spheres?
Miss Hargraves, please, we must stop talking so loudly.
Stop? You might just as well try to stop a bandersnatch. Play more, I say.
For heaven's sake, Huntley. Do you realize Canon Naughty is waiting to celebrate Holy Communion?
And is there any reason why the Holy Communion should not be celebrated with organ accompaniment?
Oh, it's you again.
How dare you? I'm not accustomed to being spoken to in such a manner. Kindly move, sir, kindly move. Make way, I wish to descend.
It's too bad of you, Miss Hargraves. There'll be an awful row.
Oh, tut. Life is made up of such little troubles. I abominate fuss. I shall see the dean and make it perfectly clear that I am to blame.
No, I'd rather you didn't do that.
Indeed I shall. But come, let us not allow such a disagreeable incident to spoil the pleasures which lie ahead.
What pleasures?
Why, the river, of course. Your graphic reminiscences of our foolhardy exploits on the Serpentine have decided me on an evening on the river. You will row and I will row.
But I really don't think I have...
You cannot deny me, Norman, surely.
I'm not sure I can any longer. We really should be getting back.
Oh, not yet, Norman. It's such a balmy night and the muse is upon me. I call this lament... Oh, water and breeze light and magical moon, and me all alone on the river. They tell me the dawn will be here very soon. They talk of a chill on the liver. You like it?
What was that first line again?
Oh, water and breeze light and magical moon.
Breeze light?
Precisely.
Don't you mean moonlight?
Oh, Norman, Norman, what does it matter? Besides... Magical breeze is abominable and annihilates the rhyme.
We should be heading for home. It's long past your bedtime. Oh, and mine, come to that.
How extraordinarily prosaic you are. Alone on the river. Night with a train of stars. Henley, dear. The poet, not the place. Alone. You and me. And you must talk of going home. Fie! Now the muse has deserted me. And you are to blame.
Well, apart from anything else... We haven't eaten.
How luscious those strawberries on the Serpentine were. How I wish we could partake of some such refreshments now. But alas, it... Oh! But only look!
What?
The forbidden fruit!
Where?
It is Providence, dear, Providence!
What is?
An apple tree! On the bank there. A sumptuous repast ripe for the picking. Pull for the shore, sailor. Pull for the shore.
This is ridiculous. It would serve you right if I went away and left you here.
Do? What do I care? I still have the stars.
All right, we'll go ashore.
Dearest Norman, how good you are to indulge my little whims. It's quite simple. I abominate fuss. Let an adventure have more spice than dough. An old Norwegian proverb, dear.
Here, give me a hand. Mind your step.
Yes, indeed. You don't want another ducking.
I'll fetch your sticks.
And my bag. There's nothing of any value in it except to me. My diary. A little miniature of Mr. Archer. The Agatha's license. Trivial things, but precious to me. Thank you, dear. Thank you. And now for apples.
I really think that we ought to be...
These are moments to remember, Norman.
Well, that's certainly true.
Let us not waste them in soft thoughts of beds and blankets. Be sturdy. Be different. Pick me an apple.
Oh, I don't believe I'm doing this.
What did you say, dear?
There.
Perfect. Perfect. And pluck till time and times are done, silver apples of the moon, the golden apples of the sun.
Listen, somebody's coming.
Well, what of it? Let them come.
May I ask what you imagine you're doing here?
By all means, you are certainly at liberty to ask.
Damned impertinence. What I am asking, what the blue blazes are you doing?
Eating what I take to be one of your apples. Quite excellent. A superb flavour, if I may say so. Do you use any special manure in the soil?
I don't know who the hell you both are, but...
Norman, we will go now. Get the boat ready. Perhaps you will be good enough to tell me the price of your fruit. I have consumed half an apple.
Bloody nerve.
We are awfully sorry. The truth is, Lady Hargraves and I were...
Lady Hargraves.
Precisely. I have, unfortunately, no card upon me, but why are you nudging me, Mr. Huntley? Is anything amiss?
Well, in that case, perhaps we'd both like to come inside and take a little refreshment. My name's Wynne, by the way. Major Wynne. I don't know what on earth you're doing here, but anyhow, it's warmer in the house.
I think perhaps...
That is most kind. We should be delighted. You appear to have a most pleasant garden, Major.
Thank you.
Although I think you should cut back that Virginia creeper.
Ah.
And those yews want clipping. As for the tulip tree, it is sprawling.
Yes.
Positively sprawling. Perhaps you prefer them to sprawl. How many gardeners do you keep?
I do most of it myself.
Indeed. I suppose that is rather the modern habit, is it not?
Sorry the place is covered up. Fact is, servants all away. House is really closed up. I came down unexpectedly from London on business and thought, well, I might as well picnic here for the night. I knew the place in the summer, of course. Wife in Italy.
Borghera, I presume.
That's right, yes. Now, do sit down. What will you have to drink, Lady Hargraves?
I suppose you have gin.
Gin?
I believe the Major heard me correctly.
Yes, indeed. Excuse me a moment. I'll get the drink.
Fancy you drinking gin. I never have thought it.
Really?
Well, I must say you did that jolly well.
Did what jolly well?
The Lady Hargraves business. Rather a good idea of mine, wasn't it?
I beg your pardon?
Still, we need to decide what we're going to say to the Major.
I don't see that any need to say anything.
I'm afraid I was a little short with you just now.
No matter. No doubt it was a little surprising for you.
Lost your way or something?
More or less.
Do you live in this neighbourhood?
My uncle once had a property here. Cliveden, you know. Yes. Pleasant little place. But that is years ago. The river became too popular, Major. Far too popular. I am at present residing at Cornford.
Oh? Well, I hope we may see more of each other. Cheers.
My circle is small. Most of my old friends have crossed the bar, and I positively detest people of low family.
Oh, quite so. So do I. So many bally rotters about nowadays. What?
I wonder if I might make a telephone call to try and arrange some transport.
Oh, wouldn't hear of it. You must stay the night here. What do you say, Lady Hargrave?
A capital suggestion. 5 blankets, and put a glass between the sheets to see they are properly aired. I like water... Vichy, if you have it, and the Bible by the bed, authorized version. Mr. Huntley, please see to everything.
Don't bother, Major. Honestly, anything will do.
Anything will certainly not do, Mr. Huntley. Now, please attend to matters with all expediency.
Good morning. Did you sleep well?
Adequately, thank you, Mr. Huntley.
Major Wynne doesn't seem to be here. I don't know where he's got to, but we'd better scoot pretty quick before he gets back.
Why this ridiculous hurry? Is there no morning tea?
Oh, don't be absurd. We can catch a bus if we hurry.
Bus? I am not accustomed to travelling in buses. Ring a garage and order a car, a large one. I cannot bear being cramped. Do it at once.
Are you crazy? I should like to remind you that you've got us into this mess.
Mess? Mr. Huntley, it seems that I had the misfortune to spend an entire night in this room with you. Do not assume that such close proximity to my person for so long a period entitles you to any sort of familiarity. Kindly ring the garage, and since I wish to use the lavatory, instruct me as to the geography of the house. If such a poor place has any geography, there need be no argument.
Upstairs, first floor.
I should take it as a courtesy if you were to tell nobody about our, what can I call it, a mad frolic of last night. I blame you entirely, of course.
Oh, of course.
Where is this car you keep talking about?
You can get it yourself. I didn't order it.
This is intolerable. How am I to get home?
Any damn way you please.
I've never been so insulted. Leave me.
Oh, I'm going to. You do just what you like from now on. I've finished with you. Finished.
My bag. I've left it in that ridiculous house. Kindly run back and get it.
Oh, I'm damned if I will. I'm sick and tired of you. I never want to see you again.
Any news of the old trout?
Not so much as a peep.
Do trouts peep?
God knows. Anyway, she's gone. 2 whole weeks without that yapping Bedlington or the interminable operatics of Dr. Bloody Papush.
Of course, we've still got no proof that you sent her away. Any more than we've got proof that we brought her here in the first place.
I don't need proof, Henry. I'm just happy she's gone. Except
what?
Except that, in spite of everything, I still like her.
You're mad. Quite mad.
I know. I hate her, and yes, I love her, and I'm half afraid of her.
My God, she's back!
Agatha?
No, Agatha's dead. Whoever or whatever Agatha was.
No, Connie, Miss Hargraves.
Oh, wonder if she's brought her over with her.
Large as life, in a Rolls Royce. She's come into a title. Chauffeur called her ladyship.
Funny things, titles. No law of gravity about them. You can never be certain where or when they're going to fall.
What's more, it's in the paper. This week's Mercury. Oh. Listen. Lady Hargraves will shortly be in residence at Lessways, the fine old Queen Anne mansion in the London Road. Mm. She's going to live bang opposite our house.
She's free to live where she pleases.
Only because I've given her that freedom, damn it.
I now call upon our guest of honour, Lady Hargraves, to open this year's Conservative Party Bazaar.
Ladies and gentlemen, or if I may make so bold, for your warm reception encourages me to do so, let me simply address you all as my friends.
Couldn't keep away.
Wouldn't have missed it for the world.
I feel as though comfort has embraced me, and I, in my turn, embrace her. I'm reminded of my halcyon days. Halcyon days. Wrapped in high summer's indigenous haze. Peacocks and muscovy, jellies and jam. Flannel's young athletes patrolling the can. Hearts beating high, the barometer up. Did you know then that there's many a cup twixt the slip and the lip and the tangerine pip? When colics on Sunday were read by Papa. And spice could be found in a parish bazaar. Oh, where have they gone to, those comfortable, far-away, halcyon days? Well, here, in your beloved comfort, I have found them once more. And it gives me great pleasure to declare this bazaar, which I know will have spice, well and truly and gloriously open.
Thank you.
Mumfred. I can see you take great care of your chrysanthemum.
Yes, indeed.
Truly colourful display, wasn't it? But you must remember, no coddling. You must never coddle the chrysanthemum.
Lady Hargraves.
Yes?
It's Norman.
Norman?
Norman Huntley.
Oh, yes.
And this is Henry Beddoe, remember?
Vaguely.
I always understood you and Norman were such good friends.
You did?
Come on, Henry.
Certainly. Thick as thieves, I'd heard.
By no means, Mr.
Beddoe.
Well, Mr. Beddoe, it is a most painful subject. What the devil? I had not wished to refer to it, especially in public, but you compel me.
Go on.
As you know, Mr. Beddoe, your friend has made much of having saved my life. What you do not know is that he was, I'm afraid I have no choice but to say this, grossly incompetent. I have no doubt I should have been out of hospital weeks earlier had he sent immediately for a skilled nurse. That in itself would have been bad enough had his meeting with me not turned his head.
Henry, for pity's sake.
Oh, I fear your friend is embarrassed by my observations, but it is a fact that a life saved does not become the property of the saver.
But you are my property.
Calm down.
You are my creation.
You see, Mr. Biddle, infatuation.
Oh, my God, I've had enough of this. Right, Lady Constance Bloody Hargraves, I'll scotch you once and for all.
Curious behaviour, is it not, Mr. Biddle? Or may I perhaps call you Henry?
What? Lady Hargraves,
you do not
but...
wish to be disloyal to your friends, I understand. A most admirable sentiment. We will change the subject. Now, Henry, give me your arm, and as we walk, you must tell me all about yourself.
This letter is being sent to one or two citizens of Cornford who have the interests of their town at heart. It is a warning. Do not trust the woman who calls herself Lady Hargraves. Neither her title or her money are genuine. She is a dangerous member of the IRA. If you value Cornford Cathedral, keep an eye on her. From an Ulsterman.
The old bitch has been sent here by the IRA.
Wouldn't surprise me none. All that hobbling about on sticks never did take me in.
Serve the old king bloody well right if the cathedral was blown sky
up. Why, dear Mrs. Doughty, I wouldn't say a word against her, but the most extraordinary stories are going round.
Of course, Miss Linkinghorn, these Irish titles are most remote.
Nonsense, my dear. Women of that age don't carry bonds about.
But my dear Mr. Dean, I saw her myself making plans of the cathedral. And what's more...
I tell you, it's a fact.
What be?
She was seen going down into the crypt.
Oh. So?
With a black bag.
Oh.
And it were ticking.
What's the latest gossip on the Hargraves front?
Whatever it is, it's no concern of ours.
Oh, don't be such a spoil sport. I think it's wonderful that she's got her comeuppance at last.
What do you mean?
After the way she's treated poor Norman, all over him one minute, cutting him dead the next.
Thanks, Jim.
She's probably offended that he's not been to see her since she moved into Lesway.
Why should he? That's because everyone else is making up to her. Besides, it's just the other side of the street. She could come and see us.
Anyway, she's certainly got her own back against whoever started all those terrible stories about her.
What do you mean?
She's written to the Mercury.
Where?
You really have to admire her. But at her age, too, many people would have been destroyed by something like this.
Sir, I was proud to become a resident of Cornford and was looking forward to many happy years here. But what has happened? I have become the victim of a cruel and malicious rumour which threatens to undermine my very existence here. I know full well how this wicked slander arose.
Go on.
I am able to refute it, and I shall take immediate steps to do so. Let the lying tongues cease before hot burning coals fall upon them. Hargraves.
Lummy.
I must say, I think it's rather splendid of her, don't you, Norman?
Yes. Fine. Tell me this, Dad. Do you believe you can raise the dead?
Never tried. Dare say you might. But she's a fine woman, Norman. I shouldn't like to think she was a ghost.
Nor would I. But I'm really getting scared. She's probably got a knife into me. And it isn't an ordinary sort of knife, either.
I'm a bit muddled, boy. This is the woman you made up.
You still believe I made her up?
I believe just about any damn thing's possible. Did I ever tell you about those elephants?
Yes, but that's got nothing to do with Miss Hargrave.
Matter of degree, that's all. I could put the whole thing in a nutshell for you. Three words.
Don't tell me about Tennyson, I shall scream.
Well, damn it, it was Tennyson. I remember those words. Skulking behind a pillar he was, and he dropped this piece of paper. Three words on it, I read them.
Well, what the devil were they?
Creative thought creates.
That all?
Enough, isn't it? There's the key to the whole mystery, and you say, is that all?
Sorry, Dad.
So you ought to be. I'm trying to help you. I've seen what's going on. I know. She's no ghost. Creative thought creates. Look at Santa Claus or Sherlock Holmes. Do you realize that millions of people every year are writing letters to the Gray's Inn Road?
Baker Street.
Well, wherever the devil lives. Or didn't. You're Miss Holway's another. I'm proud of you, my boy. Proud of you.
That's very flattering, Dad, but I've got to finish this somehow.
Be careful. Be damned careful. They turn and bite you, boy.
Listen. Hear it.
Open the window. A ghost couldn't play a harp as well as she does.
Creative thought creates. Then maybe destructive thought destroys.
Look, Norman, there simply has to be some perfectly natural explanation.
But there isn't. You must believe that Miss Hargraves is utterly and solely our creation.
All right, supposing she is.
What can be created can also be destroyed. Creative thought creates, destructive thought destroys.
What the hell are you suggesting?
That we have to find a formula whereby we can convince ourselves, and the fool sexton in Lusk Church, that Connie Hargraves does not exist. Just as we convinced him and us that she did exist. We've somehow got to get back to the state of mind we were in before we created her. You and I together, as before. What I don't know yet is what exactly we have to do. Or how.
What fools we are.
How do you mean?
Plotting and planning like this. Tell me, did we plot and plan for hours before we created her?
You mean leave it to the spur of the moment?
Exactly.
A recital, you say, Lady Harton?
More in the nature of a small musical party. What the French elegantly refer to as a soiree. And I should like you, Mr. Puntley, to play your violin.
Capital notion. Heard you playing the other evening, accompanied by that minor bird of yours.
A cockatoo. A tarsome bird that is with us no longer.
Flown the coop.
I'm sorry to say that driven by some avian instinct that we are powerless to comprehend, it made a ferocious attack on my poor little dog, Sarah.
Doubtful birds, parrots. Edward Lear painted dozens of them and he was quite batty. Is the dog dead?
On the contrary, Dr. Papush, that is the fanciful name of some stupid friend of mine gave the bird, perished as a result of the encounter. I cannot say I'm at all sorry, but to return to my proposed musical offering. I had in mind a group of solos from you to include a little composition of my own, which I think you would interpret well. A canzona, inspired by the willow wren. I have brought you the score.
Queer birds, though not as bad as parrots. I'll play my air on the G string. Norman can accompany.
I, of course, shall play some harp solos, and as for the accompaniment to your piece, I will be responsible for that myself.
Oh, no, Norman must play.
Dad, I've decided I've got to go back to Lusk.
Lusk?
Lady Hargraves.
You can't go getting off to Ireland yet. Lady Harton wants you to play for her concert. We're doing my tune.
I see I'm left with no choice but to be perfectly frank. I do not wish your son to play.
Nonsense. He won't mind, will you?
I think I'd better not.
My sentiments exactly. Particularly if you intend to continue spreading lies about me.
But the whole thing's a pack of lies. Lies, Miss Hargraves. You are my lie.
You see what I have to put up with from your son, Mr. Huntley.
Unreliable fellow at times, I admit, but a good musician.
I can only assume, Norman, that you are unwell, that your mind has become unbalanced. poor Agatha suffered in much the same way. You would not care to end as she did.
No, I would not care for that.
Who's Agatha? Is she the woman from Bournemouth who plays the oboe?
You should see someone, Norman, before it's too late. You mustn't once consider the expense. For what price can one place on one's sanity?
I don't believe it.
You are insufferable.
Hello, Cornford 426. Oh, it's you, Henry. Sorry. No, it's just that I've had another dose of her ladyship, and Dad's gone and let me in for playing at some damn recital she's holding on Monday. Honestly, I feel shattered. What? Why, what's that got to do with anything? Well, as far as I can remember, it was Major Wynne. Why? But that's ridiculous. We met him. We stayed in his house for the night. Well, that makes no sense. If Major Wynne was in the south of France, who did we see? What did it say in the Mercury? Missing silver? But then, our Major Wynne must have been the burglar. Oh, God, Henry, I've just thought. Connie left her bag there. That's all I need. Well, the police are bound to question her, and the mood she's in, she'll as like as not pull me in as an accomplice. Look, Henry, the moment the recital's over, we must head straight for Lusk, okay? Yes, me too. A kind of tingle up the spine. It's like murder, almost. But then I suppose it is murder.
It's no good worrying, Mother. I've made up my mind to go away.
But if you're really ill, why don't you see a doctor?
It's a change I want. I'm run down.
Well, I don't understand.
I wish you'd see to the gravy, Dorothy. I can't be expected to carve and do the gravy, can I?
What on earth do you want to go to Ireland for?
I'm absolutely positive Lady Hargraves is behind all this.
No, Mother, I'm behind her.
God, you talk in riddles. So when are you off?
We're catching the night train to Heysham tomorrow.
We? Who's we?
Henry. He's coming too.
Just what are you two up to?
Give us your plate, Norman. You can't go till after the concert. Nobody understands my tune like you do.
And what am I supposed to say to everybody? Norman's gone away. Why, they will ask.
Simply say he's gone dotty.
Yes, that'll do. Pass the horseradish sauce.
I came, I go. I breathe, I move, I sleep. I talk, I eat, I drink, I laugh, I weep. I sing, I dance, I think, I dream, I see. I fear, I love, I hate, I plot. I be. And yet, I sometimes feel that I am but a thought, a piece of thistledown, a thing of naught, wrapped in the cradle of a craftsman's story, and destined not for high angelic glory. And yet, I came, I go, I breathe, I move, I sleep, I talk, I eat, I drink, I laugh, I weep.
When the hell are we going to start the music?
Can't you let her enjoy herself?
I thought you were in a hurry to get to Ireland, boy.
Yes, I suppose I am, but in a way I want this evening to never end for her.
It has to end sometime, Norman. We're agreed about that.
I know.
I can tell, dear lady, that you have read your John Donne.
Oh?
Yes, the resonances are unmistakable.
I can truthfully say I've never read a page of Donne in my entire life.
Well, of course, I simply meant...
Come, Mr. Huntley, let us start the music. Give me your arm.
Take the other arm, Lady Hurley. That arm's never been quite the same since I had that accident in the National Gallery. Did I tell you about that?
Mr. Dean, would you like me to find you a quieter site?
So sorry.
We are opening our little concert with an original composition of my own. A slender link between the human consciousness and the untamed voice of nature. It is entitled A Canzona, and I think I am betraying no secrets of composition when I tell you that it was inspired by the song of a willow wren.
Give me an A, Norman.
I shall not easily forget that evening. When from this elfin bird there poured forth notes in the words of a poet
I cannot remember whom, plunged the incredulous universe to silence. Much of it was written in my diary on the actual spot. Sir Henry Cohen was kind enough to commend it. It had imagery, he said. A canzona, inspired in F sharp minor by the Willow Wren. We are ready. Give it legato, Mr. Huntley.
That's not my tune. But she's announced the canzona.
I don't care what she's announced. Give me my tune.
Huntley must perform it in the cathedral. This is a light, Lady Hargraves, that must no longer be hidden under a bushel.
Do you realize they all think we were playing her canzona?
Oh? Well, what does it matter? They seem to like it. What are we doing next?
Thank you, Mr. Huntley, for the most moving performance I have ever heard.
But Lady Hargraves, she's
not normal. And now, my friends, another original composition. This time by Mr. Cornelius Huntley. You will now play my canzona.
Sorry about the mix-up just now.
They'll think.
I'm just interested to see how it will be received. Normandia, find the music.
All right, ready.
Mr. Huntley, accompanied by his son, will play an original air on the G string.
I always thought that was by Bach.
Bach, I assure you, did not invent the G string. Proceed with your air, Mr. Huntley.
A little beyond us.
I like tunes myself. Of course, it was very well played.
Odd, though.
You will excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. I'm afraid the recital is at an end.
Extraordinary behavior.
How very rude.
Artistic temperament.
What do we do now?
Go home, I suppose. Dear Miss Hargraves. Oh, Connie, dear. Don't cry. Please don't cry.
No.
I can't bear you to be unhappy.
No, but...
What's the matter? Tell me, please. I'm your real friend.
I know. That's why I'm so unhappy. I realized it suddenly during your father's beautiful music. All those stupid people only applauding his music because they thought it was by me. Oh, I'm so tired. Call your father and Henry. I need the three of you. I've been unkind, so very unkind.
Give her a glass of wine, Norman.
Thank you, no. But take some wine yourself, I beg you. My dear, dear friends, I treated you so badly. Can you set it down to this detestable title? I do not know how I came by it, and I
feel it was not meant for me. I am no aristocrat. I belong to no class.
You know, on the district railway, they used to have four classes. Extraordinary.
Oh, Cornelius, you must let me call you by your first name. I love your drollery. And I fancy you understand me better than anyone, except perhaps for Henry here and Norman. No one can understand me as Norman does. And now he sees me for what I really am, a lonely, foolish old woman.
Oh, don't.
Norman, it's getting late.
How true, dear Henry, it is late. But not, I hope, too late for me to make you believe that, in spite of everything, I cannot exist without your friendship. I might almost say, without your cooperation.
We know that.
Yes. I think all three of you understand something of my terrible limitations.
Miss Hargraves.
Sometimes I pine for the open country, for a caravan, a donkey, the venison of friends. The world is so dull. Could not we four polish up the tarnished armor of life and make it glow again? We four on some far-off horizon where sunward floats the gull. Oh, my friends, life, if we choose it to be so, lies in the hollow of our hands.
The time, Norman.
What does time matter? Our fates are intertwined. I feel as close to you as the mistletoe to the oak.
Remarkable stuff, mistletoe. Ever told you how my Uncle Arlie found some growing in an old horseshoe that used to hang over the place where he shaved every morning? Well, really extraordinary. He took that shoe, see, and shot his mare with it.
Father, stop.
Sorry.
Don't stop him. Never stop him. He must never be stopped.
Connie.
Yes, dear? What do you require of me? What is it you and Henry require of me?
I, Norman, we can't do it.
We can.
We're going. Away.
Away?
For a few days.
To Ireland.
To Lusk.
Yes. Yes. Listen. Let it be said. I am not as other people. For a little while, I broke into a life which I was never intended to lead. But now, I know what I am. A thought, a piece of thistledown, a thing of naught, rocked in the cradle of a craftsman's story. Yes, when I read those lines, I remembered what I was. I'm so very tired. And yet I would so much like to play my harp. Music is such a balm. Shall we play a while, you and I, Cornelius?
If you have the score.
You will need no score, for it is an old tune. Come, you two must not be late. Goodbye, Henry. I did not get to know you well enough. But perhaps there may yet be time. I do not know.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Norman.
Goodbye.
I have enjoyed it all so much.
Listen.
I can't bear it, Henry.
Let's go.
Now, for God's sake, drive quickly.
Might as well take a look at Lusk Church, don't you think? There might be some old brasses worth looking at.
I hate brasses.
Well, we can shelter from the rain anyhow. Come on.
My friend is very interested in old churches.
This is a fine old church, to be sure. Built in 1863. You will observe the beautiful lettering on the chancel wall.
I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, and here's our greatly treasured lectern.
Unique.
Remarkable.
Magnificent.
Bloody.
In a class by itself.
Aye, 'tis indeed a beautiful work, given by our people in memory of our late, very beloved pastor, Mr. Archer.
Dear Mr. Archer.
Tell me, was the vicar here for very long?
Long? Oh, yes, indeed, to be sure. And over here, you will no doubt wish to admire the exceptional carving on the pulpit.
Henry? I know. She's gone.
Miss Hargrave! Miss Hargrave!
Norman!
Farewell!
Thanks, Henry.
Farewell. Farewell.
Jean Anderson was Miss Hargraves in The Fantasy by Frank Baker. David Swift played Cornelius Huntley and Dale Rapley, Norman Huntley. Henry Beddow was played by Nicholas Gilbrook. Dorothy Huntley, Joe Kendall. Jim Huntley, Elizabeth Mansfield. And Dr. Papush, the Cockatoo, and Sarah the Terrier, Leonard Fenton. Other parts were played by Anna Cropper, Donald G., Christopher Good, David Googe, Joan Matheson, Danny Schiller, and Simon Trees. The music was composed by Dave Hewson and played by the composer with Cindy Foster, violin, and Rupert Parker, harp. Miss Hargraves was dramatized for radio by Brian Sibley and directed by Glyn Dearman.